Tuesday morning broadcast. Always a delight to speak with Zvi Yechezkeli. He is Israel's leading journalist when it comes to knowledge about the Arab world. He had a very successful tour of the United States just last week. He's back in Israel, and he is reporting on a constant basis about what's happening up north and what's happening in general. Very hard to fit us into his schedule, and we greatly appreciate it when he does. Zvi Yechezkeli, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Hi, it's my pleasure, Nahum. Pleasure. Thank you very much for hosting me.
Tada rabba. Give us your impression. We'll start with last week first, then we'll get to the events of today. Give us your impression of the beeper, pager, walkie-talkie attack that took place last week.
First, it's amazing that after 11 months of war, we are waking up. The beeper or the pager, who pressed the button, I don't know if it was before time and on time. The most important thing that we began to fight, the beeper was just a symbol that you can do it, we can do it. And afterwards, we saw that Israeli continue to hit them with the walkie-talkie and then with the elimination of the leaders of Hezbollah and then the missiles. Now, we're still not in a war, you know, it's not a global or war between us and Iran and all the proxies, but I do believe that something happened, letova, for the good now, because Israel now know exactly that there is an enemy in the border of the north and she can't live with those missiles. You know, just right now, Nahum, I finished to interview an interview, and the guy who interviewed me, he's from Kiryat Shmona, and he's living in Jerusalem with his kids for already 1 year.
In a hotel, they're, yes, right?
Yeah, in a hotel. They're out of their home, and he asked me just one question. When I'm going to be back home? When it's going to be safe at the north?
So, what's your answer to that? What's your answer to that?
I said to him, don't go back to your home when you will hear the chief of staff say to you, it's okay. Ask yourself before if Hezbollah is deterred. Is Hezbollah, we kick them, we eliminate them, or we really hit them in a way that it's safe. Up to now, it's not so safe. So be careful. Dir Balak, like we say in Arabic. So we have a way, we have a path, we have our patience, but at least something happened.
Yeah. Zvi Yechezkeli is with us. I want to talk about what you said today in Israel regarding Hezbollah and Iran. But first, you just said that Israel went ahead as part of an attachment to the beeper episode and eliminated the leadership of Hezbollah. And we appreciate that. We understand that the top 5, 6, 7, 8 guys are gone. I get it. However, and you would know this better than anybody else, aren't there so many Hezbollah soldiers? Aren't there tens and tens of thousands who easily now could replace that leadership?
Of course. Of course. You know, we have a phrase in Arabic, Hamas ma'nas. Hamas with the people, nas. There is no fighters like we have in a Western society that me and you civilians and the guys in the army, they're the army, and we don't have nothing to do and we're not into the business. No, each one of them is a mujahid. You can do jihad, whatever. You, when you saw the beepers are exploding, they were exploding in the middle of the street, in a bakery shop, in the mall, in the market, because each one of them is a warrior and each one of them can replace the other. So it's like in Gaza, it's the very hard argument in Israel. Who are the Hamas? The Hamas, there's the troops of Hamas, the Din al-Qassam. I say that even small kids that they are handing weapon or telling to the gunmen that they are IDF coming, they are part of the machine war, the part of terror. This is the problem.
How many do you think there are? Is it endless? Is it ad infinitum? How many do you think there are?
1,000, but there is end. The end that they will understand that to fight with you, it will finish their life. And you know, the beeper attack was so in the conscious You know, in the conscious of that, it's something you happen. That's why they're afraid. They feel this, the inner frequency of us more than the hit. So now, when you know, when someone wake up, it's something, and it's do a big impression. It's like when they saw Trump coming to the area, they were afraid. Afterwards, they saw that it's not so bad, but it's still, they're still afraid from the crazy one or from the unexpected one.
Now, our team who pays careful attention to what you say every day in Israel, they informed me that today you said that Iran is angry at Hezbollah and the way that they're handling it. What do you mean by that?
Iran built Hezbollah and prepared Hezbollah for the day, for the day that they will have a nuclear bomb, and we will have the global war when we will try to attack them. They didn't plan that Hezbollah will go into this conflict, saving Gaza or in Gaza to help Gaza, and will eliminate himself. And this is the point that now Hezbollah is in a point that 50% of his power lost. Right. And maybe Israel is going to continue. Today in New York, President of Iran said in the United Nations that they're hosting Iran as a state that declared that they want to eliminate Israel. He said, we won't let Lebanon to be Gaza because we need Hezbollah. They're angry about Nasrallah that he dragged Israel to some kind of a war that maybe can risk him. His survival, but be taken to consider that the Israelis don't want to go until the end, and they will finish in a contract and in an agreement, right. And then Hezbollah will have another decade to build himself again, like it happened in 2006. I do believe that we have now a golden option, like we said, a window that opened once in 20 years, and now we can do it all the way like we did with Hamas. We can do it all the way with Hezbollah.
Are you ready to say we did it with Hamas? Are you ready to say we accomplished it?
We're on the way. We can't go back. This is the terms of the war. This is the goals of the war, to eliminate Hamas. I don't believe that we will eliminate Hamas from the heart of the Gaza people of the West Bank. But I will say to them, the guy who will carry weapon in the name of Hamas, he won't be in the tunnels. He will be dead. That's the message of the war in Gaza, and it's gonna be. Although we are slowly and we are lazy and we are progressive and Western and humanitarian aid and so on, don't forget we are Jewish people. There is young soldiers that they know exactly who is the enemy.
What did you think when you heard about missiles being shot into the Shomron this week?
Okay, maybe it's a desperate step. Maybe it's something. But you know, one missile. Okay, guys. Now we are dealing with their arsenal, with their bunkers, and all their stores of missiles. You know, it's a war. But you know, if you will take into consider all the fear that we had before from the war, now it's I don't say it's easy, but that's it. It's time to clean up.
Nobody knows the Arab world like you do. Are the inhabitants of Gaza different in their view of all this than the inhabitants of Lebanon? I mean, I guess one difference would be that there are more Christians in Lebanon than in Gaza, right? But any other major differences where you would say it's a different attitude, one from the other?
Yeah, of course. If we're talking about Palestinians all over the world, so the Palestinians are the same, with the same goal, with the same education all over, because they had the narrative of the Nakba, that we kicked them and took Palestine from them. It's all over. But Lebanon, it's not Palestinians. Lebanon, it's a Shia and Sunni and Christians. But the base of Lebanon, it's a Christian country. You know, they receive it from France, that they cut it from Syria to give the Christian minority in the Middle East and the majority in Lebanon, not anymore, to give them a country. In all over the years, the Shia took place and grew up and took Lebanon as a hostage. Now, Lebanon, if it wasn't Nasrallah, or if we're going to kick Nasrallah out or demolish Hamas, you will see peace contract in 5 minutes because we don't have any problem with the Lebanese. We don't have any problem with border. The problem is that the Iranian, they planted this proxy inside the Shia community to fight Israel under the name of the Shia against the Sunnah. We are not the enemy of the Shia. The Sunnah is the enemy of the Shia, but we are the enemy that it's more easy and comfortable to fight with. Because if you fight Israel, you will have the guarantee that nobody will kill you. Maybe we'll give you, you know, humanitarian aid and so on. And then you will find yourself more strong than yesterday.
When you, Tzvi Yechezkeli, hope for an actual end to this, an actual Israeli victory in Lebanon, does it mean that? Does it mean Nasrallah and Hezbollah being replaced by a real Christian Lebanese government? Is that the only step you would accept in terms of ending this?
First and foremost, you have to cut the snake from his head. We should kill Nasrallah. We should kill all the leadership, the military and the terrorist leadership of Hezbollah. It's a lot of work. Then to the population, you can say, guys, I don't have nothing with your faith and believe, your Shia, or Sunnah. You know, we are Jewish. We are each one who can live with his faith. But if you will use your faith against me, that's going to be out of context. So you can be a player in the political game or a political democratic life of the Lebanese people. But I won't allow you to build an army like you have today and to threat Israel and to threat the Lebanese. It's possible. You know, when we invaded to Lebanon in 1982, the Shia, they said to us, welcome. They threw rice on our soldier. When you throw a rice and roses, it's to say, you're welcome. Come to save us from the Palestinian. Afterwards, when the Iranian with the religious Shia indoctrination, they built Hezbollah at the middle of the 80s. So this was the wrong step that we didn't realize, like it happened with Hamas. We don't have any problem with other religions, although it's a religious conflict. We don't have it. We don't want the world will be Jewish. The Judaism, it's not a missionary crusaders. We don't need it. We, you know, in the Gemara, it's written, when a guy wants to come to be part of us, we say, why you want to come here?
What are you crazy?
You're crazy. Don't you know that you're the miserable, all the world will hate us. You should do mitzvah and then averot. Why you need it? Do the 7 mitzvot of Bnei Noach and be happy. So we don't need
it. What a message before Rosh Hashanah. Finally, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but Bibi's coming to the United States, assuming the trip takes place. He's going to be speaking in the United States later this week. What do you think when you, with all this experience in the Arab world, and you really knowing what they think about Jews, what do you think when you see what's going on in the college campuses? What do you think when you see regular American kids who are joining these protests on behalf of the enemy?
I think that the Palestinians succeed like in Purim, they became undercover. They said to the world that the Palestinian cause or Palestinian conflict, it's a matter of human rights. It's a lie. And they use those guys and kids as a useful idiot. Sorry to say it. I lived with Arab. I lived inside Hebron and Jenin. I know them. They laugh about them. You know, once guys from the Hamas told me, the first one we're going to kill, it's not you. We're going to kill them. Because they the traitors of your, and they collaborate with me. I'm going to use them and kill them first. And then I will come to kill you. But, you know, it's so ridiculous that in Columbia University, I remember that university, you know, in the beginning of the 90s, it was the university in the world. Now with all the immigrants and the refugees and all the what's going on there, when they're adopting Hamas ideology, you can say one thing. Somebody here just was, is, or she, there are idiots, Others don't see the good and the bad. They confused. But you know what? When they go inside, you know, all those gays and trans, all those guys, when they go inside, the Arabs telling them, we are not killing you, we use you. And afterwards, after they will finish this demonstration, those guys will understand that the Muslims use them.
And that's probably the same thing they say to Natura Carta, right?
Of course. Of course. They say to Natura Carta, we don't have a problem with the Judaism, only with the Zionism. It's a lie. It's a lie. The Abu Mazen is not is refusing to recognize Israel as a Jewish state because they're not recognizing us as a national, as a nationality, only as a religious that is under the Islam. So Natura Carta, they're so nice, but they're using them. Because these guys from Natura Carta was in Be'eri, they will kill him at once, on the spot.
And just to tie up your point from before, so when they see a kid from Turkey or from India or from the United States die in support of their cause, they laugh.
Of course. You know, Nachum, I did a series of shtula of a Swedish lady that came to Israel, and she had a Swedish passport. She entered the Hamas, and then she discovered, she realized that Hamas operates towards us, human rights organization, a flotilla, and Fly Free Gaza, all those organizations, human rights organization, paid by Hamas, sponsored by Hamas, because terror organizations know that the best missile and the best terror attack, it's with media and with human rights and with the democratic rules. So that's why they do it. They use those idiots, and the Shtula said to us, they hate you, and they use us, the Europeans.
Unbelievable. Next week is Rosh Hashanah. The only thing painful about all of this, and you know this because you're very close with so many soldiers, the only thing so painful is how many soldiers, the young people that we've lost over the last year. And if we continue the way you're suggesting, which I'm not arguing, I know that you're right about this, I just hope that we don't have so many sacrifices, so many karbanot over the next few months.
I hope. I went to a funeral in this week, one from the Gush Etzion, from Elazar, the soldier. And I can tell you that we paying the most expensive price, and it's very hard. It's our kids. I'm crying every day when I see those faces on the screen. But I know that it's happened because we were sleeping, because we said that if we will give them, it will be quiet. 20 years of quiet brought us to a war, and still it was Rachamim again. Because if we're going to wake up now, it will be less sacrifice, less soldiers dying, and more secure to the next generation.
Wow. So this sacrifice, as terrible a price as it is, I hate to say it like this, but it's a quote-unquote good investment. We're saving people, unfortunately, on the backs and the lives of so many precious soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Ask this generation. They jumped to the kibbutzim to fight. You know how many stories of heroes there is here of those generation that we said they have TikTok, they have smartphones. They fought like any Jew, like it wasn't here in Israel in 48, 67. Why? Because they know the truth. Although they will live the Western life, they know the truth. They knew that the war is going to come. And the war came. They paid the price, that this generation. But we know that it's not go for lost. We live because of them. We live because their sacrifice. We're not going to do the same mistake. And we'll tell to our children, sleep. The enemy, it's not an enemy. They're just practicing. They're just shooting to the water. They're just coming to work in Israel. Not anymore. We're in the beginning of the Jewish awakeness from the beginning. This is Tshuva. This is Elul. This is Am Yisrael. I'm crying because it's happened with 1,500 people who killed. But I do believe that God save us very bad things in the future.
Tzvi, tada rabba. We'll speak after the Chagim. Shana tova u'metuka.
Amen, amen. Toda nachum, toda. Thank you. Shana tova for all of you.
Tzvi Yecheskeli, everybody. Amazing, incredible analysis of what's happening in the land of Israel, the state of Israel, and of course, right now, most importantly, up north with the enemy. More coming up. It is a Tuesday morning edition of JM in the AM as we continue.